So is there anybody here who, when you were a little kid, didn't have to, at some stage, stand on the corner in the kitchen maybe or some obscure cupboard, and then mom and dad would put a book on your head and they'd take the pencil and they'd make a little mark and they'd say, "Oh my, you've grown 2 inches since last year." We've all been there, right? The growing chart. It's something that we were so proud of, you know, and you'd check out to see that you'd grown quicker than your little brother had, stuff like that. I think we took a great deal of pride in the fact that we were getting bigger. Maybe because most aunts and uncles and long-lost relatives come into the house, and if they haven't seen you for a while, the first thing they say is, "Oh, hasn't she grown?" Meanwhile, they're thinking, "Oh my goodness, what's that hairstyle, and why is she wearing something through her nose," or whatever. Growth is a very important part of our lifestyle, our image of each other. We grow better, we grow more slimmer sometimes, we grow independent, we grow. And in Peter's letter, the second letter, he says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And that's what I've been thinking about today. And it's been quite humiliating or not humiliating, but challenging, because I gave my life to the Lord when I was about 16. And that makes almost 60 years of following him. And when I look back, I still feel like such an ignorant child. I've never been able to spout off Bible verses with confidence, with the reference at the end in case you needed to look it up. I've never been able to approach people with a great deal of confidence one-on-one and talk to them about the Lord when it wasn't asked for. And looking back, I think, I'm not sure how much I have grown. But in some ways, I know that I have, because I've grown to know him and love him more and understand him and see myself better. But those are the thoughts that I'd like us to look at today. During this week, some of us had a lovely little trip down to Coombs. And if you ever go to Coombs, to the marketplace, one of my favorite parts is at the very back, there's a nursery, and they have all kinds of wonderful bamboo and stuff like that. And they have these trees that have been planted in pots. They're bonsai trees, and I've always been a bit fascinated by this art, which it is, the art of bonsai. But it's a little bit troubling when you think about it, because with bonsai, the gardener takes a little tree, a shoot, a small tree, and almost any kind of tree works, I gather, if you do it properly. And that little tree is planted in a very small container, nothing like you would imagine holding an oak tree. So maybe a small pot. But before it's planted, the gardener takes it, turns it upside down, and he snips away at all the roots, and he cuts them way back. And sometimes he makes a big cut in the taproot, in the center of the plant. And then the little bonsai tree is planted. And this is a long, long process. So maybe a year later, the gardener will take him out again, look at his roots, and oh, that one's going to come back. And that little tree grows a tiny little net of roots in this small container. It's completely constricted. So that as it grows, it becomes, with careful pruning, the shape of a real tree. But it may only grow that high. And it's quite beautiful. As I say, it's an art form. People love to see them, pay a lot of money for them. But it seems that it's awfully sad when you think about trees, that this little bonsai tree is never going to be the host to a nest of birds. It's never going to give shade on a hot day. Little kids are never going to be able to climb up in its branches and hide. people aren't even going to be able to lean against its trunk or carve hearts into the trunk, which is a really important thing to do with the tree. In other words, those little trees are beautiful and they look good, but they don't really fulfill the purpose for which God intended them. And the reason is because they don't have enough room to grow and they aren't rooted deep enough. In Corinthians we read, "So as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him." We're back to that growth chart again. The little trees will never really grow because they're confined. They have no space to spread. They have nowhere to go, and their roots are being cut back. So they're just grasping at the nutrition of the ground that they're in, the little bit of ground that they're in. So those thoughts are what are behind the ideas that I'd like to share now. There's a story, and it's a true one, in the 19th century of a man whose name was Crowfoot. And he was the chief of the Siksika Indian tribe. And he was known for his really peaceful and good relationship with Canada during a time of much violence and unrest. Sounds familiar. Well, the Canadian Pacific Railroad was building, and they needed to build the railroad through ground that belonged to the tribe of Crowfoot. So they approached him with an offer. They said, "If you allow us your land to put our rail line through, we will allow you to ride anywhere you want to go on our railroad when it's built." And so that sounded good, and a deal was made. They finished the railroad, and good to their word, they came and presented Crowfoot with this little medallion that said that he was free to ride anywhere that their railroad went, anytime, forever. And he was very proud of this. And it said that he wore it around his neck for the rest of his life on a string. And he showed it to people with great pride. "This is my right to ride anywhere where the Canadian Railroad goes." But there's just one really strange thing. Crowfoot never stepped into a train. He never took a journey. But he was so proud of being allowed to. But somehow he didn't grow into that experience. And so he never got across the country. He didn't see new cities. He didn't go through beautiful forests and see the waterfalls. He didn't meet other people and share with them and tell them about his share in this wonderful story of achievement. He stayed home where he was, the way he'd always been, with his little medallion, and he clung to it, and he sometimes showed it to people. But he didn't grow. We have journeys that we can make. Mike made one the other night when he came to Marley and they prayed together. Or we can just say, "My arm hurts. Gee, it's miserable having a sore arm. I wish it would get better. I'll take another pill." We have to step out in that journey. We have the right. God has given us the medallion that says, "You are mine. You belong to me. You can do anything through me. I want you to spread out. I want you to grow. I want you to have experiences and opportunities to share of me." Charles Spurgeon, the famous evangelist, said, "God never gives us a promise that he does not intend for us to use." And Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock." We have to put them into practice. We can't just nurture all these beautiful words we hear on a Sunday, these songs that lift us up, and just keep them within ourselves and never grow. I used to work with the school district in the continuing education department, which was setting up night school programs. And our motto, or the slogan that's used by many educators, was that people are lifelong learners. We never stop learning, and I'm really learning that as I get older. It seems like there's more that I don't know every day. But really, we need to keep on learning, and we know if you try computer expertise now and you didn't grow up with it, you'll know there's a lot of challenge, a lot of new stuff out there. We're lifelong learners, and Jesus said to us, take my yoke upon yourself and learn of me. Learning of him doesn't happen just in reading, in going to seminars, in watching TV programs, in even talking to others. It's experiencing, it's getting on the train, as it were, and getting out there and sharing God's word. Growing is a difficult process. Do you remember growing pains when you were a little kid? Like when you're about, there's certain age groups where we get growing pains. And I believe doctors don't feel it has anything to do with our growth. But they hit us at that stage in our lives when we're really shooting up. You know, the teenage boys that you see them at the end of the school year and then they come back in September and they're up here somewhere with legs that go on forever. Well, when they're growing, sometimes they get these pains in their legs. And Mum will say, it's okay, dear, it's all right. You just have growing pains. And I think we as Christians have growing pains too. Sometimes we grow a bit too fast, maybe, rush in. Sometimes we do some really dumb things. I got this delightful story about a traffic situation where the traffic was really bad, and the man was approaching the red light, the green light, and suddenly, just as he got just about to the white line, the light turned yellow. Well, you know what we all do in that instance, of course, just like him, we immediately slow down and stop. We do not go through the yellow light. Well, he did the right thing, but the lady who was close behind him and in a very big hurry was not impressed, and she slammed on her brakes, and then she had a real tantrum. She hammered on her horn and she shook her fists at him and she dropped her phone, which she shouldn't have been carrying in the first place, and she really ranted and raved. And all of a sudden there was a tap on her window and she turned around, and there was a very serious police officer looking in at her. And he got her out of the car with her hands up, put on handcuffs, and escorted her to the police station. They put her in a holding cell, and she was there for several hours. When she finally got to come upstairs again, the policeman who had arrested her was standing there going through her personal effects, which he'd taken from her. And he said, well, I'm very sorry for this mistake, ma'am, but you see, I was driving right behind you. And all of a sudden, I saw you honking your horn and having this hissy fit and cursing the man in front of you. And he said, I saw the bumper sticker on your car that said, I love Jesus. And I saw this little silver fish on the other side and the sign that said, follow me to Sunday school. And he said, of course, I presumed you'd stolen the car. Can you not see that happening? Have we never, ever been there? She'd grown. She'd done all the right things. She'd got in feet first to all the projects and the organizations. I've been there. I can remember being on so many committees in a bigger church and teaching Sunday school and doing a youth group and taking camps down at Moorcroft and writing stuff and supporting missions and reading about them and being so busy being a Christian. And I think at this point, this poor lady, who was probably rushing to get to a prayer meeting, kind of forgot what it was all about. She'd grown, but not really spread out. She hadn't heard the Lord completely. And she had growing pains, not very comfortable. Growing up is never a really comfortable process. Remember Peter Pan? He didn't want to grow up. Remember, he had this great life. He was flying around and he was fighting with pirates and he was chasing crocodiles and he was just having so much fun being a boy. He didn't want to grow up. But eventually his friends left him because they knew they had to carry on, spread out, become adults, take on responsibilities. And they kind of left Peter behind, flying around, playing tricks on people, being a kid. We have to grow up sometime. The other Peter who had to grow up is one that we can really relate to. Remember, Peter was this gruff fisherman, and we get the feeling that he was a bit impetuous and sort of opened his mouth before he'd really thought things through, as we all do sometimes. And Peter had met the Lord. He'd been introduced to him by his brother, and one day Jesus came and said, "Follow me." And I'm sure Peter didn't think twice. He just threw down his nets, jumped out the boat, splashed up to Jesus' side and followed him, because this was adventure. And he was going to do things that were fun and he was going to grow. But through the coming years, Peter did a lot of growing pain time. First of all, it was great. He was there, he saw the miracles, he saw all the wonderful things that his Lord did. And one day Jesus said to him, You are really a rock. I'm going to build my church on you." And you can imagine Peter growing up in some ways. Maybe his head started growing more than anything else at that time. And he became very prominent in that group, and he was always having a lot to say, and he was always right in there when something was happening. And then one day, he made a bad mistake. Jesus was explaining God's plan for us, and saying that he was going to have to die. And Peter roared right in there because he wasn't going to let his leader get into that kind of trouble. "No, no, no, Lord. You can't do that. Don't say that. You won't die. We won't let you die." And instead of being called a rock that time, he was called a stumbling block. And I can imagine how he felt, that sick feeling in his tummy. He'd let the master down. And another time he forgot again, and Jesus said, "You're going to leave me." And he said, no, not me. They may all leave you, but I'll be there. You can count on me, because that's the kind of person I am. I would never let you down." Again, don't we often say things we wish we hadn't afterwards? And that was one of the down times in his growth chart. "I will never leave you." Very soon afterwards, when Jesus needs people to be praying with him, lifting him up, sharing, Peter's with the sleeping guys under the tree, and Jesus is on his own. He was tired. They'd eaten well. It was a good night. He felt good, and he dozed off, even though he'd been asked to come and pray with me. He didn't grow very much that night. But he tries to make up for it, because when the soldiers come and Jesus is arrested, out comes Peter's sword. Now he's going to prove himself, and he lops off the ear of one of the soldiers, the hero. And how humiliating, really, to see that ear gently replaced and healed. And no, that was not appropriate, Peter. That's not what we need at this time. And from then on, Peter's growth chart kind of takes a big dip, and it goes down, 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 and he feels smaller and smaller and more scared. He's not growing at all. He's shrinking. And so he skulks along and follows. And when he's around the fire and he's approached, he says, no, I'm no friend of his. I don't know him at all. Because he's afraid and he feels small and worthless. And he goes through really desperate times. He isn't growing at all in the Lord. He feels as if he's lost everything. And then, it happens to all of us, there's breakfast on the beach, and he's given love. And Jesus says, Peter, feed my lambs. Do you love me? And he's thinking, why would he even care anymore whether I love him? But slowly, he starts to grow again, and he knows that he is loved and that he's forgiven. And he starts to get bigger. And he soon is filled with power. And he's preaching to hundreds of people. And they're all understanding what he says, even if they don't speak his language. And Peter is a leader. And he's grown. His stature has changed completely. He's a leader in the church. And soon he's part of miracles. Wow. Not just receiving them, but being the instrument whereby God makes these things happen. And he's rescued when he's put in prison. It's just, you know, part of his growth. And he's rescued by an angel. How much can you have arrived when an angel comes and leads you out of prison? Our poor lady in the motor car could have done with something like that. And so he becomes a real leader in the church, and he's growing. But those growing pains can often stay with us. And there's a time when he kind of slides down again. And even Paul, who is his friend and his co-leader, says, Peter was wrong. He thinks that some people are different from others. He discriminates. He won't eat any longer with the non-Jewish people. But Peter loved the Lord. And though his growth chart is wobbly, he knows who he has believed, and he follows him. D.L. Moody, the evangelist, says this. He said he can tell, or you can tell, when a Christian is growing. This is kind of lengthy, and I'll read it really slowly. In proportion to his growth in grace, a Christian elevates his master. He talks less of what he himself is doing, and he becomes smaller and smaller in his own esteem, until, like the morning star, he fades away before the rising sun. I think that's very beautiful, but I think it's also very profound. And Peter maybe had quite the ego in the beginning, don't we all? Even when we are successful in things we are doing for the Lord, we can feel ourselves being kind of important and noticed. But you know, at the end of his life, Peter completely fulfilled that statement of Moody's. If you look at the first letter of 1 Peter, he introduces himself as Peter, an apostle. And even immediately after that, in 2 Peter, he says, Peter, a servant and apostle. He was humbled. He knew who he was in Christ. In the last years of his life, all the glory went to God. And we know there's tradition that when he finally was martyred for his faith, he chose to be hung and crucified upside down, because even then he didn't want to presume that he was anywhere near the stature and the fullness of his God. Peter knew growing pains. We all grow. Paul, who had so much wisdom and so much from the Lord, he says, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put aside childish things. And that sounds as if he's arrived. But he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Not that I have already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but this one thing I do, I press on. I continue to grow. I reach out. Michelangelo, the famous Italian sculptor, finished 14 wonderful, beautiful, perfect statues in marble. Some of you will recall, you've probably even seen the statue of David in Italy. Just perfect, beautiful forms, lifelike, coming out of the hard, hard marble. But he finished 14, but Michelangelo chose 44 and had 44 unfinished statues when he died. He had 44 great big blocks of pristine marble that he'd started to carve, but never finished. 30 were unfinished. They were just chunks, and we can see them still. There is one, this great big rough-hewn piece of stone, and out of it is a perfect elbow carved by the master. And another, it says, has a leg, a thigh, a knee, a foot, and even toes. But the rest of that body is locked inside the marble. He chosen each piece for a specific purpose. He knew who he was going to pull out of that rock and create. He didn't have time to finish them all. But it seems to me that we're like those unfinished statues. God looked down and he said, that one is going to be a Gloria. That one is going to be a Carol. And this one is going to be a child who leads her parents to know me. I know what I'm going to do with each of these pieces of marble. And each one is going to be different. And it's going to take time. I'm going to have to chisel and cut and polish and hone. But slowly they'll come out of the marble and they'll be real, strong, growing people who can serve me and who will love me and that I can use and save and care for. We're just like those statues. Our God-called possibilities lie deep within us, and we're still growing, and God is growing us. We're still struggling to be liberated from that rocky surface, from that little pot. We've got to get out of the little pot and get into the big rock. James says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Complete, not just a leg, not just a toe, not just an elbow, but a whole perfect form created by the Lord. And in Philippians we read, who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We're kind of works in progress, eh? And we're growing. I'd like to just finish with a quote from Bob George, who wrote a book called Growing in Grace. You can't grow in grace in a classroom, through a seminar, a book, or during a quiet time. You can only grow in grace through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Growing in grace is not a matter of our becoming bigger and stronger in and of ourselves, but of simply getting ourselves out of the way and allowing Christ to live his life in and through us. Getting ourselves out of the way and allowing the Christ to live his life in and through us. It's the season of harvest right now, and things have grown, and we are growing. And we may know growing pains, we may make foolish mistakes, we may let our Lord down, but don't let's be confined in that little pot. Let's not be bonsai Christians. Let's grow, as Jane would say, grow up, eh? Get bigger, get more of him. Rely on him and allow him to grow us. Allow him to get us out of the marble to become complete and beautiful in his sight. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, you are such a good and a caring and such a powerful God. We see the things you do around us, Lord, and we are in awe. And we feel really, really small. And we know, Lord, that without you we can do nothing. We cannot grow. We cannot bloom. We cannot stretch out. Lord, we need to hop on the train. We need to see your world, the world that you created and planned. We need to see your purpose. I just pray that you will take us as a church, as a people, and as individuals, young and old, and help us to grow. Teach us new things every day, Lord, and help us to have the courage to grasp onto them and embrace them and make them part of our lives. Would you grow us, Lord God, for Jesus and for the wonder that he has, the love that he has for us. I ask it in and through his precious name. Amen.